Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another broadcast of the Global Village Radio Show with your hosts, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell and Doug Bentley. Tonight, two great segments of our show. First, an exciting interview with Jackie Woodside, a USA Today and four-time Amazon best-selling author, certified professional coach, TEDx speaker, and licensed psychotherapist. Her latest book, Calming the Chaos, teaches step-by-step thought processes leading to increased productivity and peace of mind, and a three-step formula for managing every component of your life. Then, in the second hour, Dr. Douglas honors those military veterans who served in our armed forces on today, this Veterans Day 2023, with your phone calls. Now, here's Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Douglas James Cottrell Show. We're here today with a wonderful guest, Jackie Woodside. She is a U.S. Today and five-time international Amazon bestseller. She's a TED speaker. She's international trainer and professional coach. She is the founder of the Curriculum for Conscious Living and the Conscious Living Summit, and trains coaches around the world to deliver this life-changing work that she is an expert in. Jackie is a certified professional coach, licensed psychotherapist with 30 years experience in both fields, so Jackie knows what she's doing. Besides being a best-selling author and a coaching expert, she wrote this stunning new book, Money Vibe. So today, get your recorders out, get your notepad going. This is a wonderful lady that is going to give you some tips on how to go to where you always dreamed of, where you want to go. And she's going to give you some down-to-earth factual information. Welcome to the show, Jackie Woodside. It's great to have you here.
Well, it's so, so great to be with you, Douglas. Thank you so much for having me and for just this wonderful show that you produce, the storied history that you have and the contribution that you've made to humanity. It's just lovely to collaborate with you.
Well, thank you very, very much. That's very kind of you. I'm very grateful for those kind words. Today, we want to know, who is Jackie Woodside?
Gosh, the girl next door, I guess. Like you said, I'm an author, a speaker. I've been a coach for 30 years, so I'm an old school coach. Before that, I was a psychotherapist in clinical practice. Those careers overlapped for 15 years, so I'm not like 90 years old or something.
you don't look over 30, let me tell you. There you
thank
go.
Thank you. We're friends already. I love that. So, those are some of the things that I've done professionally. As a clinician, I had the really blessed opportunity to work in schools and prisons and inpatient wards, psychiatric programs, outpatient psychiatric programs, nursing homes. Like, I just had such a rich and varied experience as a clinician. And I'm also, ironically, fluent in American Sign Language. So
Holy smokes, are you ever talented? Wow.
Well, I'm married to a deaf person. We've been together for 23 years. And before that, I had a deaf partner in my early 20s and just became very fluent, very, very young. And it influenced my career. So even still, as I do a lot of corporate organizational development consulting and leadership training and development, and I do a lot of that in American Sign Language because there's not a lot of people that do that. You know, so I'm married. I have an 18-year-old son. I have a summer home in the Thousand Islands of upstate New York on the Canadian border. And I have that's on the St. Lawrence River. And I have a lakefront home here in central Massachusetts. So I'm a waterfront home snob a little bit. I love being on the water. Was raised on the St. Lawrence River, and it's just something that I really deeply enjoy and that feeds my soul. Beyond that, I'm a racquetball player and basketball player and skier and pickleball player. So, let's just say I never get bored. I never run out of things that I love to do.
You never, never stop, it sounds like. and all that history with dealing with people in difficult situations through your developing years, with your understanding of expanding the consciousness, listening to that is impressive to me. And
thank you. I've loved my career. I loved being a psychotherapist, but as I got more and more into the study of consciousness and conscious evolution and my spiritual growth and development, I really wanted to be on a bigger platform, have a bigger platform, write books, do talks, and eventually I was able to make that transition.
Well, let's get right to it. What is this book, Money Vibe? Tell us about that.
Okay, sure. So we have a relationship with everything. And that relationship that we have with everything, so let me just do a few categories. Like, you have a relationship with fitness. For some people, it's like, yes, I'm like so miserable if I don't make it to the gym on a given day. And, you know, for other people, it's like, oh, you know, I don't want to even think about it. And I love my couch and thank you very much. You know, you have a relationship with your spouse. You have a relationship with your job and your home. Like, all of these things, when you call up a mental image of them, there's a felt sense that you have about that thing, whether it's fitness or your religion or politics or a certain politician. We have an inner experience of all of the outer things in our world. And that is what I call your vibe. It's the sum total of the energy, the vibration that gets created by your beliefs and emotions and attitudes and thoughts. So that's what your vibe is. Your beliefs, emotions, attitudes, and thoughts create this external felt pattern of energy. So like when you meet somebody and you're immediately taken with them, you're like, oh, I really like their vibe. You don't even know anything about them. But upon the first few minutes, you like them. What is that? That's the energy, the vibratory pattern that I'm talking about. Or maybe you meet someone else and very quickly you're like, I don't know what it is about him or her. I just don't like their vibe. Or a place. Maybe you walk into somebody's home and you just kind of tense up. Or you go into another home and you just feel the sense of peace and ease. That's what I'm talking about with vibe. Now, we have a vibe about money. Right? Probably very quickly when I say that, you're like, oh, do I ever? And as a therapist and as a coach for all of the years that I was in practice, I saw that one of the areas that people really, really suffer is with their money vibe. And I just felt like I had some things that I could offer to people that would help them understand that, the impact of it, and then how they can go about changing it.
Well, yeah, you know, very true. Everybody has this money vibe about paying rent, can't pay the bills, not making enough money, working two jobs. And
here in the U.S., the latest statistic that I heard was kind of the average American family cannot bear an unexpected bill of $400.
And they're living paycheck to paycheck, right?
And they're living paycheck to paycheck. So they've got no more access to ready capital that if the car breaks down or they have to go to the emergency room or something happens, the furnace goes up or whatever, something happens beyond $400, they would not be able to pay that bill.
Well, I agree with that. In all the years I've been talking to people, they want to know how to make more money. My standard feature is be of more service, do the best service you can possibly provide, charge the best fee, and you'll make more money. And money becomes a benchmark, at least from my perspective. In reading your website, which I believe is JackieWoodside.com, there's more information there about how people can understand the vibe. And I believe you're going to give us some, if I can call them secrets, or maybe just common sense on how to change the vibe from being impoverished to being comfortable.
Yeah. Scarcity mindset to prosperity mindset, if you will. A lot of people are living in with a sense of lack and scarcity and insufficiency, and it colors your whole experience of life and of the world. So the first thing people need to do before they go about trying to change their money vibe is to really get a good sense of what their money vibe is. So there's a really simple, quick litmus test that I do with people to help them very quickly see where their money vibe is. Is it in the lower realm where there's scarcity and stress and suffering, or is it in the higher realms where, you know, money is just a tool, it doesn't really have that much impact on my life, whether I have any or not. I know I'll always have my needs met, and you're in this kind of free-flowing, higher vibe, higher energy. So most people that I meet are in the lower vibe because we associate money with our very survival. And when people are experiencing outer scarcity, that impacts how they see the world. There, I have a lot more to say about that, but I'll leave that there for now.
Oh, no, no, that's a good point, Jackie. I mean, people do, you know, like, I didn't mean to interrupt where you're going.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
But that is a very, very good point. I mean, people have this failure mentality, if I can call it. I can't get ahead. They blame themselves, then they start blaming other people.
Yes.
It's always somebody else's fault. Mahatma Gandhi taught people, if you want more, if you want clothes, make your own. You want to eat food, plant your own food. Do something. And I've used that as a mantra, but it's a very good point. So I'm sure people listening to the show now here and on the Global Village Radio Show, where this will be rebroadcast later around the world, that they have this, I'm going to call it mirage, that they can't make it, that they have to be in poverty, that they have to endure. Now, I'm sorry, this is your interview. I'm not trying to preach here, but...
No, you're absolutely right. That is what I call survival consciousness. It's in the lower realms of vibe, the lower vibe of human existence, is merely in survival, where exactly as you said, the belief is it's so hard, I can't get ahead. Notice that's not a fact, it's a belief.
That's a very good point. It's not a fact, it's a belief.
Right, it's not a fact, it's a belief. Have you ever gotten ahead? Did you ever in your life, you know, win a race or get a good grade or be acknowledged for some skill or make a contribution that you felt good about? Chances are at some point in your life, you have, quote, gotten ahead. You got the job or, you know, you got the promotion at some point in your life. But what we're neurologically programmed to do, it's called the negativity bias, is rather than collecting all of this data that shows that you have gotten ahead many, many times in life, you look at this one time that you got fired or this one time or maybe 10 times that you couldn't pay the bills. And you focus right there. How many times over how many years have you paid your bills on time? Chances are way more than that handful of times that you couldn't make the rent or couldn't do that thing. Now, maybe it was a hard, maybe it was a struggle, but what our brain naturally does, because it is geared for our survival, not for us to thrive, is the brain focuses on those things that it perceives to be a threat, or that it perceives to be some form of danger. And it says, that's my truth. It's not the truth. It's not a fact. So one of the things I like to teach about how to raise your money vibe is be careful not to believe everything you think.
Mm.
Because most of your thoughts are tainted by this thing called the negativity bias in your neurological structure.
That's a good point. I mean, how many times... You know, I say it a little differently. When you look out the window, are you looking at the speck on the window or are you looking at the view beyond? And you're putting it into really practical terms that anybody watching this broadcast and listening to you should begin, the wheels in their head should be turning now or their brain, and they should be thinking, yes, I've been right 99 times, and why am I focusing on that one time? Somebody in my past told me I was not going to ever get ahead.
Right.
I'm married, I got a job, I have a car, I've got this, I've got that.
Yeah.
Well, how can they be right? So how do you convince people, if I can put it that way, Jackie, how could you convince people to not pay attention to this vibe that's wrong? They're focusing on this, I guess. So how do you get them to undo that?
Yeah. So let me go back to the very beginning. The only way that you can change anything is to be aware of it.
Hmm.
And when most people start having a conversation about what their vibe or their consciousness is, they very quickly assume that they are operating day to day at a much higher level of consciousness than they actually are. or they see themselves as a much higher vibe person than they actually are operating in. What I mean by that is we have this kind of optimism bias when it comes to our own self-assessment. We are, it's really funny, 60% of drivers think that they're better drivers than other people.
Of course. Okay.
So what does that tell you? We tend to overestimate those kind of specific skills when you're thinking about them. Now, when you're not thinking about them, you probably have a lot of negative monologue in your head about various things, maybe not your driving, but certainly about your money. So the first prerequisite to raising your money vibe is to get aware of where your day-to-day, moment-to-moment experience of money is. And for most people, that is in the survival and stress range of consciousness. Survival and stress, survival like, oh my God, it's hard, so it's somebody else's fault, and just screw it, I'm going to sit this one out, it's just too much. You know, and rejecting any help that might, it's really difficult being in that survival mindset. And then stress mindset is, it's really hard and I'm working really hard and I've got to work harder. I need to do more. So it's driven, it's pressured. I work a lot, but I never feel a sense of pressure around my work. I don't work a lot because I have to. I work a lot because I choose to. And anyone can take on that mindset. So the first thing that people have to do, there's just three simple questions that I ask to help people associate their day-to-day experience with money. First question is, when you think about money, when you know you've got money in your head, when you're paying the bills, what do you most often think? What are your predominant thoughts about money? And I've asked this of thousands of people, and most often people say, I don't have enough. Where am I going to get more? What if it's going to run out? I'm worried about my financial future. There's some level in that question, what do you most often think about money, that people have this sense of survival, scarcity, and lack. The next question I ask is, how do you most often feel when you're in this discourse about money, applying for a loan, paying the bills, thinking about getting your paycheck? How do you most often feel? And again, what I hear time and time again is, I feel pressure, I feel stress, I feel worry, I feel anxiety. Those emotions are in the lower realm on the vibratory pattern scale. They're in the survival and stress levels of consciousness. Then the third question is, what do you most often say, actually outward, verbally express about money? And again, most often people say things like, I hate money, I hate having to pay the bills, I hate that I can, you know, that I'm barely getting by, I can never get ahead. Those are the kinds of verbal expressions that, again, represent people being in the lower realms. So let me just juxtapose that to what someone who's in a high vibe position might be. They might think things like, I always have enough to get by. My needs are always met. They might feel things like hope and optimism. Maybe it's not great right now, but I have a sense that things are going to get better. Things have a way of working out. So I feel hopeful. I feel open-minded, open-hearted, and optimistic. And then what do they most often say? I'll find a way. This can't be that hard. Or one of my personal favorites, money's everywhere. I just have to learn and focus on channeling that money into my life. So that's just to juxtapose what a high money vibe looks, feels, and sounds like versus a low money vibe. So that's the first place to begin. So once again, just in case people want to write this down, what do you most often think? How do you most often feel? And what do you most often say? Start paying attention to that, and you'll get a really good idea on your day-to-day where your money vibe is. Douglas, I'll stop there and see if you want to chime in, and then we can go on to...
You're doing very well, but I'll chime in by saying, you know, some people are quote-unquote codependent. It's always they need somebody else to help them do what they have to do. And I've kind of defined that into responsibility and duty. Responsibility is something you have and you can, you know, hire somebody to take care of your responsibility. It's your responsibility to cut the grass on your house. You can hire the neighborhood boy to cut the grass. Yeah. But there are things in your life that are your duty and no one else can do this but yourself. And so if you can discern between those two, the responsibilities can be given away or hired or somebody else can take care of it. But there are duties that you have to focus on. And in listening to your comments about how people feel, think, and talk about money, the people who are comfortable and the people who are wealthy, in their last comment, they have no doubt in their mind that they're going to be able to get money from some place, somewhere, or somehow. People at the other extreme, when they're paying the bills, it's like, here's my $10. I'm never going to get that back. So yeah. It's kind of like they're giving something away, not going to get back. And the other point of view is like, sure, here's 10 bucks. I'm going to invest $10. I'm going to make $11 in profit, or $11 back. So how do you get people? This is a very, very fundamental point. I love your book, you know, Money Vibe, and what you're explaining today is just mesmerizing. And again, people should make notes because these are simple steps that people can take because it's their duty to take it. Nobody's going to take care.
Nobody can do it for you. Yeah.
Yeah. And you got to do this yourself. So how do you get people who are convinced that their life is going to be horrific, tragic, they're going to be impoverished, this is the way it's going to be forever, when they come and meet you and they listen to you, if you will, hypothetically, somebody comes and they say, help me. And you just explain somewhat in detail how you start that. Would you have clients to come? You do coaching people. So can you give a little bit of how you would get that person from that moment and say, here's where you start?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Before I go into that, Douglas, let me just back up a little bit. In my intro, I didn't say some of these things that I think is relevant to this piece of the conversation. I just want people to know, because when you listen to me talk about money and I just, you know, my vibe is there's money everywhere and I just have to bring it into my life and I work a lot because I choose to, not because I have to, it can sound like I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth.
Oh, no, no. I was going to bring that up a little while. You came up like the rest of us, I guess, from the bottom up.
I came from the bottom up for sure.
Please let people know that, yes.
Yeah, it is important for people to know that because otherwise it's very simple to discredit what I'm saying if you have in your mind that I'm one of those people that was born into wealth, have always had my means met. So I was born into a lower middle income economic status. My mom was widowed when I was 2 years old with three kids and a high school education.
Wow.
She did what she could working two jobs. I barely saw her all through high school. She was teacher's aide at my school. So I would get study hall passes and go visit her when I was in study hall so I could actually lay eyes on my mom because she would be up driving bus before I got up in the morning and then she was the teacher's aide. And then by the time I got home from playing sports, she was working her second job, often didn't get home until I was in bed. So that was kind of my early years. I did go to college. Thank you, God. I was very grateful for that. But I went on a basketball scholarship. I worked full-time in the college kitchen and got put on their payroll instead of work study because I worked so much for them. And I worked two other jobs, one at the College Horse Farm and one in a residential program for autistic developmentally delayed adults. Then I went on to graduate school. Thank you, God, I was able to get a good education. I worked awake overnight while I was in graduate school, again, with developmentally disabled adults. So I know what that's like. And then after graduate school, I literally had no money left. But for my graduation gift, when I completed college, thank you, my Uncle Tom sent me a $500 congratulations card. I used that to pay my rent that month. I had no money, so I used that $500 that came from nowhere to pay my rent. I was buying groceries with my mobile credit card, so like a loaf of bread, some peanut butter, some orange juice. You couldn't use credit cards at a grocery store, so I had no other means of getting food. Not long after that, the next couple of years after that, I got into a very difficult relationship that turned to be a domestic violence situation, after which I was homeless.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was literally homeless.
So anybody listening to this, Jackie, they ought to be paying strict attention. They can't come.
I am not talking about
wealthy. You don't know what it's like. You could say, yes, I do.
Yes, I do. Yeah, so I say I'm blessed to have gone from homeless to multiple seven-figure assets. And I didn't do that overnight. I didn't win the lottery. What I did was I changed my consciousness about life, about myself, and about money. And when you change your consciousness, again, what I mean by that, your vibe, your inner world of belief, emotion, attitude, and thought, if you notice that's an acronym, BEAT, your BEAT, beliefs, emotions, attitudes, and thoughts, creates your vibe that creates your outer world. And I would have, you know, going back to when I was in that very difficult time in my life with tumultuous relationships, and oh, by the way, I've also recovered from addiction and depression. I was on multiple psychiatric medications. If you would have said that to me back then, I would have thought it was complete hogwash. But here I am, having finally, you know, gotten sober, did enough therapy. I was finally well enough to actually look at the science and the philosophy behind the power of our thought and emotional world, and that stems from your beliefs. So that was the work that I had to do. And I just wanted to share that with people so they don't listen to this next piece like, you know, some hairy fairy philosophy that I think is great, but I was born rich and have been rich my whole life.
No, I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, that's your authority, that's your credibility, and you people listening to this broadcast now can relate.
Exactly.
Ideas. When I say that God, you thank God for your accomplishments and your gift, one, we have to practice gratitude, that's for sure. But, you know, I'm listening to you working in the cafeteria, working these other jobs, getting out of school with, you know, you were well-educated, but broke.
Right. I have a bright future ahead of me, but nothing in my bank account.
So there's a lot of students right now that get out of school and they're going, oh, my God, I'm $60,000, $100,000 in debt. What am I going to do?
Yeah, I had college loans as well. Not that much because it was, you know, quite some time ago, but it was that much probably proportionally to what people earn today. Even right now, I remember the day that I made that last payment to my college loans. I remember it.
Freedom at last.
Yeah, I did. I walked out of the bank. I went into the bank and made my final payment. And as I was walking to the car, I called my mom. I was so excited because I had paid off my college loans. I remember it really well.
God bless
you. So I've lived with all of that stress, all of that turmoil. I was not that psychologically healthy in the earlier part of my life, as you can probably tell from me saying things like I was on all kinds of psychiatric medication.
Sure. I mean, a toxic relationship, an abusive relationship, not seeing your mommy, so you had to be your own mommy and yourself while you're at school. God bless your mom. What a lady she had been for working all that and taking responsibility after being widowed and things like that. You know, I gotta say, you know, your mom was a great person, is a great person if she's still alive.
Yeah, she's still alive. She has, okay. She has Alzheimer's disease.
You pass on my admiration for her. She's a wonderful lady. Because
it's so funny, Douglas, because she gets on me about how much I work now. And I just laugh and I'm like, Mom, you don't have much to say.
It's in my genes, Bob. You gave it to me.
You know, my brother and sister and I are all really hard workers, and not like with a complaint. We all love what we do, and it's definitely in our genes to be hard workers.
Is that a point that people should consider, that you have to love what you do, and then you can make money at it, or do you learn to love what you do and make money?
That's a great question. I certainly think it helps. I do think it's harder to maintain kind of this high vibe mindset that I'm talking about when you just don't enjoy your day-to-day activities. So yes, I do think it's easier, but I'll tell you, a coaching client I had years ago was one of the head custodians at one of the local universities in Boston. And he was amazing. He's like, he created team. He would have these guys be like, you know, we are the nuts and bolts of this university. We're going to make this the most well-respected, cleanest, most admired university in the East Coast. And he had this vibe of happiness of who he was. I think that's pretty rare. So I do think it's easier to, you know, to engage in work with this sense of high vibration when you at least enjoy, if not are passionate about what you do. If you're not, I would look to see what are your options. you know, can you move into something that you're more passionate about? And if the answer to that is no, look, I'm just getting by, I'm, you know, doing this or doing that kind of, you know, work that I don't really love that much, then I would say, how can you express your passion in that job? Like, is it a passion of yours to be kind? If you have a passion for cooking, we'll bring in, you know, pastries for people or things that you like to cook. Is your passion for making a difference? Well, then make a difference where you are in that workplace. Find some part of you that wants to be expressed, even in that job that you don't love, and express it. And I worked at a blueberry farm, you know, sorting blueberries on the conveyor belt and working on the machines that pick the blueberries. And that's exactly, even as a younger person, that's exactly what I did. I was like the happiest blueberry picker there.
Okay, let's hold that thought. We'll be right back in a moment. Here's a short break.
If you're seeing a world of chaos, danger, and unpredictable social and political events, then we have a book for you. In fact, it's a book every person on the planet could benefit from. From Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, The New Earth opens up a world of predicted climate, political, social, and economic events, some of which have already come true. The New Earth is an updated large paperback with 100 additional pages of information taken from the Akashic readings from Dr. Douglas. What was life like in Atlantis? Did Atlanteans have technology more advanced than what we have today? When will permanent coastal flooding in Florida take place? You mentioned that Canada will be divided into three regions. Could you please clarify this? Could you provide details about Spain becoming a center for world trade? You've predicted that there will be a move toward a single religion. What will this religion look like? These and many, many questions are answered in The New Earth by Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, available now at the Douglas James Cottrell website, www.douglasjamescottrell.com. The Douglas James Cottrell website is where you can learn much more about this amazing man and his journey through a lifetime of spiritual prophecy. The book Secrets of Life answers questions everyone has about the physical versus the spiritual world, why you are here in the world right now, karma, psychic abilities, reincarnation, prayer, and much more about universal laws. This book is essential for those who really desire to follow the path of the divine to soul perfection. Douglas has been chosen to provide you with a keen insight into the purpose of life's journey. Best-selling author Robert Appel says, "The least you can expect from Dr. Cottrell's work is that it will change your life." Go to douglasjamescottrell.com and click on Shop for Secrets of Life and all of his books and learning materials. Welcome back to the first segment of the Global Village Radio Show as Dr. Douglas James Cottrell continues his interview with Jackie Woodside, a USA Today and four-time Amazon best-selling author, certified professional coach, TEDx speaker, and licensed psychotherapist. Her latest book, Calming the Chaos, teaches step-by-step thought processes leading to increased productivity and peace of mind, and a three-step formula for managing every component of your life. Coming up in our second hour, Dr. Douglas will honor those military veterans who served in our armed forces on today, this Veterans Day 2023, with your phone calls. Now, back to our interview. Once again, here's Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
And just before the break, you were talking about being a blueberry picker.
yeah,
that would drive a guy like me crazy.
Yeah, I have lots of strange jobs. But my point is, you know, even if you're doing a job like that, that it's not like I'm out saving the world or saving the planet or saving the whales, but I'm, you know, I'm just picking the blueberries or I'm just cleaning or I'm just doing whatever you can do whatever you're doing with a sense of enthusiasm, enjoyment, passion. One of the things I teach in my Money Vibe course is this, the five E's of financial freedom, and it's the energy, that's the first E, the energy of enthusiasm, excitement, expectancy, and expansiveness.
Wow.
So when you put all these together, that creates the vibration that you need so that even if you're the blueberry picker, you're going to get promoted to being, you know, chief blueberry picker and overseeing the other blueberry pickers, or, you know, whatever it is that you're doing. When you come at your daily activity with the energy of enthusiasm, excitement, expectancy, and expansiveness, you will create an energy where people want to be around you. They notice that you're different, and they'll have a level of respect and respond to you in a more positive way.
Well, well said. I mean, work is worship, as we all know. And people are in positions where they're enduring their job. They're not enjoying their job. And
right.
What you've just laid out is to find something in your job, your vocation, your whatever, your activity, and enjoy it. And that raises the vibe because you're going to work with some expectation of having fun that day. And
yeah.
nothing is forever. You did not graduate as a blueberry picker and now are
right.
here to be about blueberries.
Right, exactly right. You know, I did. I was a nanny for a while. I worked in blueberries. I worked at the cafeteria as a cook at college. I worked in a horse farm. You know, I know what it's like to be in the trenches, for sure.
Well said, well said. You know, so for people right now, hopefully they're listening intently because they ought to. What's in a practical way, how can they get from where they are listening to this interview to where they need to go?
Sure. So let's go back to how you raise your vibe. So the foundation of your vibration, of your beliefs, emotions, attitudes, and thoughts is what you believe. So the next step is also a step of awareness, which is about getting clear on what you believe about money. And in my book or in my Money Vibe courses, several courses, and it's also in the book, I have a beliefs inventory in the book where people can look at high vibe money beliefs and low vibe money beliefs and score themselves. And I'm a coach, and coaches love self-assessment inventories. So the high vibe money beliefs are, I believe that money's everywhere and I just have to channel money into my life. I love money and money loves me. Money is simply a means of exchange. Money is energy. So these are kind of high-vibe money beliefs as opposed to the low-vibe money beliefs that are things like it's hard to make money. I never quite get ahead. I'm always just getting by. I don't trust myself with money. So, you know, going through these inventories and looking, and then once you've determined the low-vibe beliefs that you have, I want to give you some steps on how to change those low vibe beliefs into high vibe beliefs, which will also change, if you will, the kind of person that you are. You know, a rising tide lifts all boats. If you raise your money vibe energy, your overall energy as a person will also raise. So does that make sense, Douglas, is the way that I just explained
it? I just want to add to that. Yes, it does. And I'm going to add to that. If you make little changes now, in time they make big changes. So people listening to what you're saying, you know, with all the energy and knowledge and wisdom you have, I want to contribute by saying it makes sense. But just make a little change today, just a little one today, and put that problem off for tomorrow. Don't quit. Quit tomorrow, but make that change today. I mean, how could people get a hold of you, Jackie? This is so exciting. People need to get a hold of you.
Sure. My website's JackieWoodside.com, and my email is simply Jackie@JackieWoodside.com. I do respond personally to my email. My assistant sometimes has to tap me on the shoulder and tell me that I have one waiting, but I do personally respond to my emails. So Jackie@JackieWoodside.com is how people can get in touch with me. I have courses on Thinkific, which is an educational platform. And the books obviously can be bought on Amazon.
Well, I'm looking at more than Money Vibe. I'm looking at Claiming the Chaos.
Calming the Chaos. That's a productivity.
It's beyond my fingertips, so sorry.
No, that's okay. It's Calming the Chaos, which is about time, productivity, and self-management. And it's your vibe about time. So
and then you have that time for a change, right?
Time for change. Yeah. And that's your vibe about change. Those are the three things that often get people kind of wrapped up. You know, time, money, and change are things that often get people kind of wrapped up.
Wow. It's amazing life. So I always admire people like yourself. Never quit. Get to it. It might be hard, but you know, it's hard at the beginning, but it gets easier in time.
Yeah.
And you're here to tell people from wisdom. Wisdom means knowledge plus experience to me.
Right.
And you can have a lot of knowledge, but if you don't do something, you know, well.
Right. Yeah. One of the beliefs that I had to turn over was exactly as you just said, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard, but I'll just get by. Not going to be easy. I know it's going to be hard, but I'll get by. And that was the story of my life from a young child, watching my mother roll pennies at the kitchen table to send us to the movies because she didn't have enough money for it. From that to college on a basketball scholarship plus working three jobs to graduate school, awake overnight during graduate school, finishing graduate school, having no money, but my uncle sent me that check. So I had this belief, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard, but I'll just get by. And when I realized that that really was the belief that was driving my experience of money and creating my financial success or lack thereof, I went to work on changing that belief. So let me give you some strategies on how to, and now my belief is money is everywhere and I just have to channel the flow of money's energy into my life.
I agree. I say that all the time.
Money's everywhere. Like right now, tons, thousands, billions of dollars are being exchanged in the world. And what? You and I need to channel some of that into our lives. So that's just my belief. And it's easy. It's fun. I make a game out of it. So let me give you a few strategies for how to do that. The first one, and you've mentioned this already, Douglas, is simply this, to be grateful for everything that you have. Now, but that's kind of a passive, what does that really mean anyway? So every day, I wish I had it here next to me. It's over in the other room. I have a gratitude journal, one of those small ones, nice leather bound. And every morning I fill a page of gratitude, things I'm grateful for. Good morning, God. Today I'm going to thank you so much for this day. Today I am grateful for. And it's simple things like this warm coffee on a cool fall day, my cat sitting on my lap and purring while I do my gratitude list. My assistant, Chris, who makes my life so much easier because she takes care of my responsibilities but not my duties. You know, it's simple, simple everyday things. Spending time with my spouse, my son's smile as he said good morning. It was just simple things. But what happens when you do this practice over time is you start reprogramming your neurological structures away from the negativity bias and towards all of the blessings and the abundance that you have. Because our brains are initially programmed to notice the negative. So if you've ever wondered what's wrong with me, why is my inner world so negative? It's just the survival mechanism of your neurology. But as you do this practice, and I don't mean once or twice, but it's a practice. You do it, you know, daily or a few times a week, morning or night, doesn't matter, middle of the day, but you actually do it in writing. And the research shows that even just as few as three things, you write down three things at night that you're happy for, grateful about, that happened during the day, increases your sense of self-esteem, decreases your stress, increases happiness and your mood. So it's a wonderful way to raise your vibe. The second one that I have people do in a lot of my courses is something called an abundance log. Because people, especially when they're struggling financially, what they focus on is what they don't have. They focus on their lack. They focus on the stress. So I literally have people in some of my classes, my courses, do an abundance log. And it's all that is writing down a list of all of the things that you have an abundance of. So I live in New England. I have an abundance of winter gear, winter coats, hats, mittens, scarves. I'm an athlete. I have an abundance of athletic equipment and athletic gear. I have three waterfront homes. So I say I have an abundance of waterfront homes. I have an abundance of kayaks. I have an abundance of warm socks in my drawer. So it can be anything from, you know, the big things to the little things. I have an abundance of love and happiness in my heart. And when you, again, what you're doing, all of these are geared and they're scientifically proven that it changes how you neurologically process your outer world. You're working on the inner world to change your experience of the outer world. As you do that consistently over time, what you, sounds, you know, kind of hairy-fairy, but what you bring to you energetically, because like energy attracts like energy, similar energy is attracted to each other, what you bring to you begins to change. So instead of having lots of problems, you start having lots of opportunities. I know that sounds like wishful thinking, but it's actually scientifically proven. So let me give you a couple more, and then I want to give examples of what I just said. So a third one that I like to have people do is, this is from the work of, the father of positive psychology. It'll come to me. It's adapted from the work of positive psychology. And it's writing down your three money blessings every day. So maybe you're like, what do you mean? I don't have any money blessings because I don't have any money. Well, do you have a shirt on your back? Do you have a pair of shoes on? Do you have a house that you're walking out of? Do you have a car? Chances are the answers to those questions are yes. So my money blessing for today is I have enough clothes to meet my needs. And then the next thing, there's a two-part of this one. It's not just a gratitude list. The next thing is, and what does that say about me? And what does that say about me? Well, I've been successful enough that I've been able to have the clothes that I need. Another money blessing I have today is that I got paid. I got my paycheck today. What does that say about me? Well, it says that I'm a reliable employee that's been able to maintain this employment. Third, I'm not an employee, I'm self-employed, but you get my point. The third one, another money blessing. I have plenty of healthy food in my refrigerator, and I've had the money to buy that. What does that say about me? Well, I care about my health and nutrition, and I use my dollars to make good choices for my nutrition. So that's called the three blessings exercise, and you focus it on the money blessings that you've had for today. Again, same premise. It rewires your neurology. That changes the energy you're putting out, which results in getting different energy coming in. So let me give you a couple concrete examples of this, Douglas. When I was still in clinical practice, again, I'm fluent in American Sign Language, and a friend of mine, who's also a clinician, was calling me a lot and saying, like, Jackie, I need to know how to do this and this and this about setting up a mental health program in the community for deaf people. And she didn't know the first thing about it. So she'd call me every couple of days. And she'd ask me the simple basic things, like how do deaf people use the telephone? I mean, the simple basic things. Where can I buy this? Where should I be running ads? How can I? So finally, after about 2 weeks of this, I said to her on the phone, look, Brenda, why don't you just hire me to do this? And she's like, do you have time? I said, well, do you have money? And she said, well, yes, if you can find the time, I can find the money. I said, if you can find the money, I can find the time.
Very good.
That, Douglas, resulted in a 10-year consulting contract where I had the blessed opportunity to set up 6 residential programs for deaf people all in the central Massachusetts area that still runs today.
Wow.
So what I'm saying about that is my money vibe was such that this person contacted me, and then this opportunity came my way. When I told that story to a number of people, they were all like, I can't believe you just said, why don't you hire me to do that? How forward of you? That's not like that. I was being inappropriate. Now imagine if I had that belief that I was being inappropriate by saying, why don't you just hire me to do this? The program would have not gotten off on the right start. My friend would have been a lot more stressed, the clients would not have been as well served, and I would not have had a 10-year consulting contract with a wonderful organization.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, that's the difference I'm talking about. A similar one, I was doing some construction, renovations on my home, and my friend who owns a bunch of real estate properties is like, oh, just hire somebody, hire a GC. You can't GC this general contract. You can't general contract this yourself. You know, contractors are awful. You can never get good help. Well, thank goodness I didn't have that belief, because one night I was laying a hardwood floor on a Friday night and I couldn't get the pneumatic hammer. The nails were just sticking out just a little bit. I couldn't get them to go in all the way. So I called Home Depot where I had rented the pneumatic hammer, and the Home Depot guy says, well, I can't really tell from what you're saying. I get off in 10 minutes. Why don't I swing by and take a look at it for you? So in 15, 20 minutes, the Home Depot guy showed up at my house, determined that the hammer was in fact broken, and said, well, I thought it might have been broken, so I brought one with me.
Good
and
for
he
him.
Until midnight, helping me finish my floors.
Wow.
Now imagine if I had the belief that my friend had. You can't get good help. People aren't useful. They'll take advantage of you. I had this wonderful experience with this guy coming over to my house, helping me out the rest of the evening, and we got that job done. That's what I'm talking about, where you don't have problems that constantly show up when you raise your vibe. You have wonderful opportunities.
You have the challenges that appear, and you aren't afraid to ask.
Yeah, you're not afraid to ask. So what I think, Douglas, is I can promise you, me, everybody else will have circumstances. Whether or not you have a problem depends on your level of consciousness. So yeah, I've got circumstances. You know, I've got a son who has disabilities and, you know, mother who has Alzheimer's disease and all kinds of things to take care of with my business, but I never have problems. I have circumstances that need to be addressed. And so long as that's my vibe, we always have exactly what we need when we need it.
Well, you know, the expectation is that you help everybody. When that lady called up and for a couple of weeks was, was politely picking your brain on how to find out all these things, she would have continued on, but obviously she didn't know what she was doing, and failure in my mind was inevitable because she didn't know. But she had the intuitive wisdom to call you, and then you had the ability to say, well, why don't you hire me? And that evolved. And again, all those people that you've helped over those years, that point was, why don't you hire me, was that question. I find a lot of people that are impoverished or have impoverished thinking or don't have that vibe yet, they're afraid to say no, they're afraid to ask, and they superimpose that everybody's going to refuse them anyway.
That's a belief, right? Yeah. That would stand, the superimposition of they're not going to hire me anyway would come from a fundamental belief of things don't go my way, I don't get the job, I can't catch a break. So you have to change that belief to like, think, you know, think, there's opportunity everywhere. Things always go my way. And when you believe that, I know it sounds like, you know, magical thinking. It's not magical thinking. It's, you know, today science and philosophy are merging more and more together, where we see there's been really a lot of truth to this, you know, hundreds of year old philosophy that says, you know, how what you think about, you bring about.
Well, we're going to take another short break, but the point is that when you ask somebody a question, they can only say no. That's it. We're going to be right back with more with Jackie. We'll be right back after this.
You're invited to embark on your own spiritual journey today by discovering the expansive works and services from Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Elevate your being physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Visit DouglasJamesCottrell.com. With over a dozen enlightening books and meditative audio downloads to help guide you through life's complexities. Delve deep into the mysteries of human consciousness, the future, and the spiritual realm. As the author of Secrets of Life, The Complete New Age Health Guide, Conversations with the Akashic Field, and more, Douglas opens the doors to realms most people only dream of visiting. The writings of Dr. Douglas James Cottrell are based on his unique ability to visit the Akashic Field, where all knowledge since the dawn of man is stored. You can read about the predictions, many of which have already come true, and planetary changes, health remedies, human growth, are all written. Go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and view the selections of books and MP3 audio available now. That's DouglasJamesCottrell.com. Welcome back to the first segment of the Global Village Radio Show. As Dr. Douglas James Cottrell continues his interview, with Jackie Woodside, a USA Today and four-time Amazon best-selling author, certified professional coach, TEDx speaker, and licensed psychotherapist. Her latest book, Calming the Chaos, teaches step-by-step thought processes leading to increased productivity and peace of mind, and a three-step formula for managing every component of your life. Coming up in our second hour, Dr. Douglas will honor those military veterans who served in our armed forces on today, this Veterans Day 2023, with your phone calls. Now, back to our interview. Once again, here's Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
So, as we were saying just before the break, you know, people, you can ask anybody anything. All they can do is say no.
Well, they'll say yes or no.
Well, yes, pardon me.
Yes or no. And it's going to, you know, each of those creates a different future.
Right.
Yeah. And that's it. You know, people are so afraid of rejection or afraid of that no. Like, well, you won't know until you ask. I mean, I really had no investment in when I said to my friend, why don't you hire me to do this? I had no I didn't need the job. I had no investment in her answer. So it was, and we're friends, you know. In fact, I expected her to say, oh, my God, I'd love to do that, but I have no money. That's what I expected her to say.
And I like your comeback, though. Well, if you can find the money,
Right. If you can find the money, I'll find the time.
There was no self-imposed restrictions whatsoever. I love it. But because of that, my point is all this other services, all these other places you've established is the result of that. And we need to encourage people, you and I and others, that for those people listening to this today, that they can take some sort of direction and maybe become enthusiastic and say, well, if Jackie can do this, maybe I can do this, you know?
Yeah. There's nothing special about me.
Well, yes, there is. Sorry. Yes, there is.
I just feel like, you know, if I can do it, anybody can do it, because I was a hot mess.
You were the lump of clay that needed some molding, put it that way.
Like for sure.
Self, and I'm saying that in a way that's suggestive that we can all get to be successful. So the point being, as we come towards the end of this interview, is in summary, I'm hoping that people listen to you, Jackie, and can appreciate your path, your way may be similar for them. And they should go to your website, JackieWoodside.com. Opportunities knocking, my friends. If you sit there and go, well, good for her, she did wonderful, and you don't look at yourself in a different way or attempt to do anything, well, so be it. But if you're listening to this interview today and you want to take the next step, go to Jackie's website. And in summary, in a couple of minutes or so, we have about 5 or 10 minutes left. As people move forward in this changeable world, this world of chaos, the one thing you mentioned a moment ago is that things back in the day weren't so free and available as they are on the internet. The conscious out there is just overwhelming. People can go anywhere they want. So again, I asked it earlier, but for people right now, what should they do this moment as they listen to you?
They should send me an email. get in touch with me. Have a conversation. You know, if you're really serious about changing your life, you know, I guess one of the ways I see myself, Douglas, is that I'm an activator, and I'm a really good coach for people who are ready to be activated in a new way in their lives. I sometimes say I'm more of an ass kicker than a hand holder, because I know what it takes to create a different life. I know what that takes. I've lived it, and I've also helped thousands of people over the last 30 years do the same thing. So certainly getting the book, right? So the low end of the risk factor is buy the book. It's like $15, right? Read the book. And the first part of the book, the first thing I tell people is to get your accountability partner. What do I call it? Your VIP. your VIP accountability partner, no, MVP, that's what it is, your money vibe partner, that's it, MVP, your money vibe partner, and go through the book with a friend, with a partner, because most people go through the book and they don't do the exercises. They read for entertainment, not for transformation. Transformation, for the most part, does not happen in a vacuum. It happens in relationship with a transformative agent, a coach, a therapist, an educational program, an educational institute, a 12-step program, recovery. But very rarely does deep-level change and transformation happen from just reading a book. So read the book if you need a low level of engagement. But for those people that are like, look, I've done all the books, I've done the low level of engagement, I really am in for transformative change, then send me an email because I'm a kick-ass coach.
And how do they do that? How do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, so just Jackie, J-A-C-K-I-E at JackieWoodside.com is my email, or my website is JackieWoodside.com. I'm very easy to...
Here's a little book packed with over 350 simple inspirational messages that you can use on a daily basis. It's called Gems of Wisdom. If you follow these simple steps to reach the divine within, you'll change not only yourself, but the world. A must-read for the spiritual-minded person. Available now at DouglasJamesCottrell.com. Gems of Wisdom. Welcome to the second half of tonight's Global Village International Radio Show with your hosts, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell and Doug Bentley. In this second hour, we honor those military veterans who served in our armed forces on this Veterans Day with your phone calls at area code 718-766-4421. That's 718-766-4421. Now, here's our host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Welcome to the second half of the show, my friends. That was a wonderful interview with an amazing lady, Jackie Woodside. Again, her website is JackieWoodside.com. I really thoroughly enjoyed speaking with her, and she was talking from the heart. So take a moment or two and go visit her website and invest in her book. That's just me giving some friendly advice. I just was enthralled with her. Today, we're honoring in this show, the second half of the show, those fallen heroes, those military personnel who have served in all the great wars. And we want to acknowledge once again, so that lest we forget, this Remembrance Day or Memorial Day, depending what country you're in, is a tribute on this show to our fallen heroes and to those who have served in past conflicts. Those who passed away and are buried in Flanders fields or faraway cemeteries or at sea, they're not forgotten in the hearts of their families, and their sacrifice and their service should never be forgotten by us who are here today, who maybe didn't serve, or maybe those that did serve are still grateful to those who went before them. And the idea is that these people were willing to make the supreme sacrifice, and many did. Many were wounded, maimed, and their life was changed with wounds and difficulties. And they too should be highly honored for their sacrifice and not forgotten. I want to remember my father, Thomas Urquhart Cottrell, who served in the Royal Canadian Air Force. He was an airplane mechanic, and he was stationed in a place called Centralia near London, Ontario, and also in Base Trenton, where he was mustered out of the service when the war was over. I got to admit, when he went there, he was like in his 30s. He was an old man, about 34 or so, when he joined up. So God bless you, Dad, wherever you are. I also have a couple of other friends, Brigadier General Roger Lacroix, who took me out to a base in Vancouver, and we got to drive around in his special car. And I got a lot of salutes, you know, even though I wasn't an officer, but I got my eyes open as to how young the Air Force personnel were, men and women. I even remarked to the general, I said, they're all young. And of course, in the Air Force, you have to be young to fly planes. I think when by the time you're 22 or 23, you're basically done. Your career is over as a jet fighter pilot, but all the other services are there. My friends, you know, my dad was here in Canada, didn't make it overseas because he was needed here for training of the Royal Canadian Air Force, plus the Royal Air Force. The pilots that were here from England were trained at the bases my dad was serving. My uncle, Delbert Barker, served in Italy, and I'm sorry to say I can't tell you too much because he didn't want to talk about the war when he came home. He was severely wounded, and he never wanted to talk about the war. And I'm sure there are a lot of people who have had that traumatic experience when they come back after having served in some horrific experiences. So to Uncle Delbert, to my father, I had a grandfather, grandfather Wilkes, who served in the war, and I had a great, great uncle on my grandmother's side who served in the Boer War. So those men of my family are, you know, I guess everybody has had somebody in service somewhere, and so we remember them as family members, but also those people who were combatants. And I'm not trying to say that one side was right and the other side was wrong. Our enemies were our enemies then, and they're now our friends. We're going to talk a little bit more about the karma of war. But now we honor all those who have suffered and served with great pride and discipline and duty. And those who are serving now, we give the respect to them, as well as those who have proceeded to the great base in the heavens above. I also had a few friends. As I said, Brigadier General Roger Lacroix was retired when I met him. His wife, Tasma, was a major. My friend, Doug Everest, was in the 1st Princess Patricia Rifles. And my good friend, Cy Howard, was in the Royal Navy, and he served on a mine sweeper. I have other friends as well, and I should say their name, but I just wanted to mention these special people to know how important Remembrance Day is to me personally, to our friends out there who are meaningful to us. And right across America, from coast to coast to coast, we have all either touched upon somebody who has been in the service, or we know somebody personally. So it is a personal day. But the tribute we're making to those today is to emphasize just how important it is to remember their sacrifices and the high prices they paid. They were either killed, maimed, traumatized, or they survived, maybe unscathed, maybe with some small emotional or physical wounding, but they were willing to serve, and they lost that time that they were in the service. I can't think of any more stressful situation to be in than being sent into combat. It's men and women of all ages and all backgrounds, all nationalities, all races, all creeds, all religions. We're willing to, when they heard the call, to make that sacrifice. And to them, we dedicate this show tonight. And we wish them well wherever they might be in the heavens above, or if they're in the country right now. The current wars that are going on, we have people my age served in Vietnam, and I had several American friends that were in the NAM. And we have lots of other, you know, conflicts around the world that don't get the headlines, but people served. And we want to acknowledge their sacrifice, their willingness, and their bravery. People have done remarkable things under duress, you know, fearlessly running into fire and combat, jumping out of airplanes, running into houses, rescuing people, rescuing their friends. And all of that is more than wearing a poppy on your chest or a ribbon or something to acknowledge it. Those memories are there. And for people who have lived these lessons, these conflicts, these circumstances, I want them to know that I personally am grateful to them for the freedoms I enjoy. And even those people who disagree with me or I with them, this country, this North American continent and the other parts of the free world, it's directly due to their willingness to stand up for peace. And even to the point where they had to take up arms to ensure the peace. And this, my friends, is a little bit about what the show's tonight. It's got the karma of how war, while often seen as a means to an end, carries with it karmic consequences. As we delve into the idea that every action in warfare, like in life, creates ripples affecting not just the immediate participants, but generations to come, we might explore how historical conflicts have shaped the world and individual nations, which they have, leading to the lessons and legacies that influence the current events. You know, Israel, Gaza, Russia, Ukraine, our ongoing conflicts, particularly focusing, in my mind, on the Israeli-Gaza conflict, Russia in Ukraine. We've mentioned many times on other shows that there was a possibility of a nuclear explosion there. And indeed, it almost happened. Thank God it didn't, when there was bombs being dropped near a reactor and fires and leakage of heavy water occurred. Thank God for the prayers of all those people out there. We have encouraged everybody to pray, even on our Sunday services. Every Sunday here on Blog Talk, you can come and listen to our Sunday service. It starts at 1 p.m. And for those people who have participated, we trust our prayers may have dissuaded the powers to be that there wasn't going to be a nuclear explosion there. And thank God it didn't happen. But here we are, you know, this is not just a political or territorial dispute. There is also a deeper level of karmic implications that I want to address. The histories of these regions and how past actions, unresolved issues, they contribute to current tensions. You know, we can draw connections between the current conflicts and biblical prophecies. We can discuss those regions being tinderboxes of conflict, politically, you know, fulfilling ancient prophecies about the end times or Armageddon. However, to ensure a balanced view, we have to acknowledge different interpretations and perspective of these prophecies have taken place. For instance, World War II and the United Nations grew out of the conflicts after the devastation that in World War II, which happened and led to the formation of the United Nations in 1945. The global organizations aimed to prevent future conflicts and promote international cooperation. The establishment of the UN and its agencies like the UNESCO and the WHO, World Health Organization, have significantly contributed to global peacekeeping, human rights advocacy, and humanitarian aid. And that came out of the terrible, terrible conflict of World War II. Also, the Cold War and technological achievements, it was a period of intense rivalry between the United States and the Soviet Union, spurred significantly technological advancements, particularly in space exploration and computing. Did you know that? The space race led to the first human landing on the moon, and laid the groundwork for modern satellite communications and GSP technology. That all came out of the Cold War. Also, the fall of the Berlin Wall, well, in 1989, this symbolized the end of the Cold War and led to the reunification of Germany. I can remember as a child the Berlin Wall separating people from the East, which was not so good, to the West, which was more like Americanized. And people in the West had wonderful products and a great lifestyle, with the people in the East who were suffering under the Russian regime. I remember that as a child. This event was a pivotal one and an expansion. expansion and strengthening of the European Union after the unification of Germany. It provided greater political and economic integration in Europe, just that one event, the fall of the Berlin Wall. Well, let's look at the American Civil War and the civil rights. The American Civil War, 1861 to 1865, had a profound impact on the United States. While primarily fought over the issue of slavery, its aftermath laid the groundwork for the civil rights movement. The 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, which abolished slavery, granted citizenship, and protected voting rights, were a direct outcome of this conflict. There were many others as well, of course. The Rwanda genocide and international justice in 1994, where about 800,000 people were killed in only 100 days. I remember having a vision or a dream about that in advance, and it was just horrible. But out of that, it led to rethinking of international intervention in humanitarian rights or crises. I remember at the time there was a hands-off. Other countries were sovereign, and the international community just looked the other way. Well, as a youngster, I was about 34 then, I thought that was absolutely terrible. And so did a lot of other people. This action, this rethinking of the international intervention in a humanitarian crisis, led to the establishment of the International Criminal Court, or ICC, in 2002. Which seeks to prosecute individuals for genocide, crimes against humanity, and war crimes. You know, basically, there is going to be consequences. This contributed to global efforts in holding predators of mass atrocities accountable, and there goes the hope, shall we say, that they won't commit these atrocities thinking they're immune, that the rest of the world is watching. The Arab Spring and awareness of atrocity beginning in 2010 saw a series of anti-government protests across the Arab world. While not all outcomes were positive, it brought global awareness to the issues of autocracy, corruption, and the need of democratic reforms in many, many countries. Each of these historical conflicts, despite their devastating immediate impacts at the time, led to significant long-term changes that shaped the world positively and influence current events. Tonight, as we think about these events that are going on, we can wonder what's going to happen with what's taking place in our world right now. Karma works in the context of international relations and conflict resolutions. Can provide a nuanced understanding of how former enemies can become allies. It's true. Karma in many spiritual and philosophical traditions is understood as a principle of cause and effect, where one's actions directly influence their future. In the context of nations and conflicts, this principle can be seen in past actions and discussions or states the relationships that have happened. For instance, France and Germany, after centuries of rivalry and devastating wars, including two world wars, France and Germany transformed their relationship in the aftermath of World War II. The formation of the European Coal and Steel Community in 1951, a precursor to the European Union, was a pivotal step towards cooperation. And, you know, I can't think since those days that France and Germany have been at war. But I remember in high school, there was always war going on between France, England, Germany, or two against one, one against two, etc. Today, France and Germany are close allies, as we know, and driving forces in European integration often work together on a global issue. This shift from enemies to alliance reflects the karmic principle of learning from past actions and consciously working towards a different, more positive outcome. And that should be at the forefront of everyone's thinking, even now. Whatever's going on in the Middle East, there's going to be at some point in time. I think there's a biblical prophecy that says after these times which must come, which we're referring to the end times or the times of change, the tinderbox in the Middle East, that there will be a time of great peace and production. And I'm hoping loving allies will come forth out of this terrible, terrible conflict that's going on now and has been for a long time. You know, the United States and Japan, the relationship between the United States and Japan is another prominent example of former enemies becoming close allies. After the war, the U.S. played a significant role in rebuilding Japan, helping, that was World War II, and helping establish a democratic government. Over the decades, their relationship has evolved into a strong strategic partnership. Excuse me. Particular in areas of trade. Which we all know, there has been a great back and forth, and trade and commerce always is a way of building the country up. Of course, the Japanese suffered the atomic blast that basically stopped them in their tracks, and it stopped the regime of warfare in Japan. And here we go, you know, looking forward over decades, the relationship has evolved into a strong strategic relationship, a partnership, particularly in areas of, as he just said, trade, diplomacy, and regional security in East Asia. This transformation can be seen as a karmic cycle where the consequences of war led to a mutual understanding and shared commitment to peace and prosperity. And never again will Japan attack anyone, I guess, I mean, in the West, or start a war, I think, because of their constitution being changed, thanks to General MacArthur. The United States and Vietnam had a relationship which has undergone a remarkable transformation since the Vietnam War, which ended in 1975. Despite this bitter legacy at that time over the war, diplomatic relationships were normalized in 1995. Since then, the two countries have developed a cooperative relationship, engaging in trade, education, exchanges, and even military cooperation. And I have a Marine friend or a military friend, his name is Doug, coincidentally, who is going back and forth to Vietnam and inviting me just about every time he goes, come and see this beautiful country. And he's found the friendship and the love is there. Of course, there are people, you know, my age who were fighting on the other side, maybe they still look a little wonderstruck at a military, even though he's retired, he's not that old a man, visiting their place and wanting to move there. It's such a beautiful place. This turnaround, you know, through the lens of karma, where past adversaries have been acknowledged and used as a foundation for building a maturity, a mutually beneficial relationship. This should be seen as what we can expect from all the conflicts. Does that mean that Russia and Ukraine will be friends in the karmic world? Yes, it's going to be close friends in some future time, provided, of course, there isn't some earth changing or changes going on where the North Sea is going to flood or the volcanoes are going to smother places. We're not looking at that as solving problems or issues. That's coming. That's going to be there too. And again, for those people who have read my book, The New Earth, talking about these times and ticking off the predictions I've made, this is not a ticking clock to devastation. This is a time going to the renovation so that we're going to get through this difficult time between now, 2024, and 2028. With an easement starting between 28 and 2030, and then back on track about 2030 plus, 2032, somewhere in there. I'm not making a prediction then, I'm just giving you a general direction of how this next few years, at least the next 6 years, is going to be somewhat the possibility and the probability of some very difficult times and more conflicts taking place in the world. But karmically speaking, it's the understanding in international relationships to emphasize the possibility of change and that reconciliation and the power of conscious actions, which we're attempting to in my career, advocate, and if you can use the word provoke, to create a different, more positive reality. As we use these examples to illustrate the potential for transformation, it is, even in the most strained relationships, offering hope, looking back to look forward, that current conflicts and tensions can similarly evolve into partnerships and alliance. So might it be. You know, karma is a path to peace. As we explore the concept of karma, it isn't just about retribution or punishment, but it's a pathway for growth and reconciliation. Remember this. Don't, as I said on the show, I think it was last week, don't take sides about what's going on in the different countries, unless you're there. If you're there, it's your business. And if you're in the military or the government, it's your duty to protect the people, the citizens of the country. But in faraway places, don't take sides. Don't decide who's right and who's wrong. Look at this as a methodology. There's something being worked out here. I'm not saying I condone any kind of monstrous devastation or taking of life, especially children. I am outraged. I am saddened. It makes me sick to my stomach when I hear about these things happening. But I'm not going to take sides and say this side's right, that side's wrong, or look back in time and say, well, 10 years ago, they were doing this, and therefore it justifies what people are doing now. No, this is a present moment. Karma is being worked out right now. If somebody has a gun and they squeeze a trigger at somebody right now, it's what their decision is, why they did it is in their mind. And, I can say in the witness of God, the karma influence, the cause and effect, will be on them and them alone. It doesn't mean I condone it. It doesn't mean that I condemn it. It means that I'm a peaceful man, and as I pray, as we all should, for this, these conflicts, wherever they are in the world, to find some peaceful solution, that the people who are on the front lines, they need to rethink. They're playing with their souls. They are invoking karma, especially if they do monstrous things. It's really going to be bad for them at some future time. And I'm not trying to threaten them or scare them. It's a fact. The people who are doing their duty to defend the country, they're not going to suffer karma because they're doing their duty. Otherwise, let's look at it as a situation that far away where we are here, we can pray. We can send, aid and money and things to help the people. We can open our doors up and welcome people who are refugees. We can do a lot of things. But not to take sides, not to come to blows or violence in the idea that somebody else is wrong and you are right. Because, my friend, in your mind, you're only judging what's in your mind, what you think. If you're not there, you cannot know what it's like. You cannot know what it is. But the actions you take here, taking sides, condemning one side or the other, doing something that's harmful to someone, you're evoking the same level of karma as if you were playing the role in that faraway place. So protect your soul, protect yourself, be a person of peace, be calm. There's wrong everywhere. The taking of life is not a constructive, loving thing. However, it's necessary sometimes when you're defending the people you love. Those decisions, those circumstances, that is for the people involved in them on the front lines, pardon the pun, right there. For us at a distance, thank God we're protected. Thank God we're safe. Thank God for those people who have gone before us. Those soldiers, my family members, your family members, they stood up. They answered the call and they fought for freedom. And the people today are fighting for freedom. There is no reason in the world why civilians should be placed in harm's way. There is no reason in the world why civilians and innocents should be seen as combatants. There is no reason for the horror of war. But it's in our nature. It's something in the human psyche. It's there. However, as we become more enlightened, as we become more, let's say, loving, the last thing we want to do is cause harm. But my friends, this is a big test for the whole world. It's been a big test for the last couple of decades, if not the last couple of centuries. These events that are going on in the Middle East and other parts of the world are predicted in my good book, the Christian Bible. They've also been predicted in other spiritual Bibles or books. I'm not going to name them or elaborate on that. We all know. But these times that are here have been predicted, which means they were foreseen, and there is a divine purpose in God's mind, in God's, let's say, plan, which I do not profess to know. I'm not wise enough. I'm not smart enough, but I just have an inkling of understanding that this is God's plan to get us back on track. The Messiah will come back. Prophets are coming back. The watchers are here. The guardian angels are here. The star children, those seed children from the stars are here, all preparing for the next decade or two or three. There is hope, and we can see it if we look for it right now. But again, I wanted to, we'll take some questions if people want to call in. But my intention tonight was to remember my family members. And yes, I almost signed up myself. I almost went into the Air Force. I wanted to fly jets, but God had a different purpose for me and ended up working in the Toronto Daily Star newspaper and having a family. But I almost went. And I'm going to say, thank God I didn't go, because I'm not one to take orders. My father told me lots of stories about, you know, corporals and sergeants and captains and lieutenants or lieutenants with attitudes. So thank God it probably would have drove me crazy, or I might have, who knows what. Anyway, I'm smiling as I say that. But for all my friends and my clients who have served from the bottom of my heart, I'm grateful to have known you. I'm grateful for your service in protecting me through the great wars that have reshaped our world, as I've just said, from Africa to Japan to all over the world, England and the Netherlands and Spain and Italy, all the worlds, the Western worlds that are free and have the commerce and the prosperity that we have came out of those conflicts. So here we are today. And with that, I'm going to once again say thank you, everyone, for your service, wherever you might be. If you're listening to this broadcast around the world in different time zones, and I know many of you are in Spain and some in Australia and India and other. I know some people who are in China right now listening to this as well. I know because they email us. Wherever you are, my friends, on this special day, this special occasion, I can only say, you know, pray for peace, do everything you can to keep the peace, and don't be dragged into conflicts or into arguments. Be loving wherever you can be. Pray for the taking of those innocent lives, that the angels are watching over those children and those people, the elderly, those who are suffering from different conditions and different problems. I'm not going to use the word that their physical conditions are less than healthy. But the point being is that I think about those people. I do, and I pray. We are grateful for our lives, and we are grateful for this world. And whatever the Ha Satan is doing right now to inspire these evil things, we want to pray for the beings of enlightenment, those divine beings above, the angels and the avatars and the saints, and Yahshua, the Savior, to enter the world and wherever possible, prevent, stop, alter, change the evil that's taking place in the world. And on top of that, again to repeat, we know that someday allies are going to be forged or come together through the combatants or those on the opposite sides, just like it has always been in the past, just like it will be in the future. Keep that in my mind, in your mind. I'll keep it in my mind, and that's hope for all of us. So tonight, we have Paul and Doug standing by. We might have a question or two from people in the audience. We enjoyed a lovely first half of the program with that amazing woman, Jackie Woodside. And I just wanted to pay my tribute to everybody who's been in uniform and who has been willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. For those that have, we will remember you on this time, this November 11th day, wherever they might be in the heavens above. I hope they can feel the love and the sense of gratitude we have for them. Let's go to Paul and say, Paul, we have some people asking questions, or we're getting down here in time as well. Let me ask you, Paul, if you have a question, or Doug, is Doug still with us?
I'm still here.
There you go, Doug.
I have a couple of comments to make just to start.
I was going to ask you if you had any relatives in Europe that were in the service. But anyway,
yes,
go ahead.
Yes, I did. I will tell you that story, but I'm just saying that it's my belief that everyone who has been active combat and everyone who has been subject to bombing devastation is traumatized. And I'm saying, if you know anyone who has been, please be patient and loving and kind to them, because even if they don't show it, they suffer and they have suffered, and they're probably continuing to suffer. And the people, and there are heroes in combat, and there are also heroes, civilian heroes, who I think have bombed out areas and cities, and the brave heroes and heroines who are risking their lives to save people in the rubble.
Mm-hmm.
And that we have to recognize all aspects of war, which is terrible and it's inhumane, but there are people that rise up and you see their goodness and their compassion, and they're willing to give their lives to help others. That's all I want
okay.
to say.
Oh, thank you. Well said, Doug. Well said. I think we heard a little feedback there because we have somebody in the 615. Looks like their microphone's open. And if they did, you have, you're on the air.
Yes, Paul, Douglas, it's Paul.
Yes, is that you, Paul, in the 615?
That's me. Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
We've got a caller from the 312 area code with the 320 exchange. Hello, you are on the air.
We can hear you. What's your name? Where are you calling from? You need to talk a little more into the phone. Turn the computer down. There. Okay, try it again. Speak up. You're on the air. Well, so we have some glitches going on, Paul, where we have a mic open, but we can't hear the person. There we go.
Well, let's try the 312 area code with the 320 exchange. Hello, you are on the air.
Yep. Hi, you're on the air. The buttons are working okay on my end, by the way, Paul.
That's a good thing, Douglas.
Okay. Are you just listening to the show, whoever it is in the 312? Come on now. We're going to... okay. Well, I don't know. Maybe the munchkins are out there again tonight, but can't hear the people talking. And so you're in the 615. So, well, we have a little more work to do with the call-ins. I know some people are waiting for a time. So let's go to a commercial break and see if we can sort out the buttons, and we'll be right back after this.
For many years, clairvoyant seers have had the ability to peer into the Akashic field and see the library of information for every thought, deed, and action of souls living on the physical earth plane. One of four such individuals, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, trained under the direction of Ross Peterson, who, just like Edgar Cayce, was able to diagnose and provide guidance for physical and other problems encountered in daily life. One of Douglas's many books, The Complete New Age Health Guide, is a plentiful resource from thousands of clairvoyant readings. You'll learn how thought, emotion, and attitude influence your physical health, keys to anti-aging, the simple ways to a good life and diet, and so much more. Take a look at the New Age Health Guide. On sale now at DouglasJamesCottrell.com. Here's a little book packed with over 350 simple inspirational messages that you can use on a daily basis. It's called Gems of Wisdom. If you follow these simple steps to reach the divine within, you'll change not only yourself, but the world. A must-read for the spiritual-minded person. Available now at DouglasJamesCottrell.com. Gems of Wisdom.
And now back to the Global Village Radio Show with Dr. Douglas James Cottrell and Doug Bentley. And once again, here's Dr. Douglas.
I hope you've been enjoying the show, my friends. For those callers, we've had a couple of glitches here. You know, Paul, I was just thinking maybe I could try pressing their numbers and see what happens. Let's give that a try. Hi, in the 773, you're on the air. Can you hear me? Hello, you're on the air. Nope. One more in the 312 saying, hello, you're on the air. It's Douglas speaking. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, hi, Carol. There you go. What happened before? Were you talking into the phone or so? We couldn't quite hear you before.
I don't know about the catcher. I don't know. Maybe I had this ringer off or something. I don't know.
Okay. All right. So here we are. We got you. Paul's working very hard to keep everybody on the beam here. We're doing an excellent job in producing the show tonight. We had a wonderful interview with that lady, Jackie Woodside, and we had a tribute to our war heroes. What's your question or comment tonight, Carol? Carol's from Chicago, everybody.
Yes, I'm from... I was wondering, there's a lady, her name is familiar. She used to have used to write books. And what she would do was to draw money to her, she would say, she would just do her mantras. She would say something like, all financial doors are open all financial channels are free in and about to come to me.
But that's a little off topic tonight, but what's your question, Carol?
I thought I was commenting about it, but my question is how do you, are there mantras that you that are said by? Does she have a mantra that she says?
Okay, well, yeah, tonight's show is about remembrance, and it's about the earlier night was about Jackie Woodward and how you can change your thinking to change your life. And I'll answer your question by saying, repeating prayers or saying things over and over again, sometimes called a mantra. There's other names for it. The intention of saying a prayer or saying a saying or affirmation, depending on who you listen to. The intention is to get it through your minds to some sort of door opening to the spiritual realm that allows, some people think by magic, the manifestation of things. But what it really does is it gives the person some sort of mental energy, spiritual energy. A prayer said over and over again is an affirmation of a desire or a want, a request. And I think that's the whole idea. Now, people who charge money and say they're going to do it for other people, well, I'm a little skeptical of that because I'm not sure if that's necessary. When you're appealing to the universe, you're asking the universe to provide opportunities that you can take advantage of. You're asking the universe to provide an opportunity to meet somebody that can help you. Or you're asking for circumstances to come up that you can take advantage of. The universe is not a, for the most part, it's not like a, it's not magic. It's not a treasure chest. It's not, something you just reach out and grab and you can take. It's something that is provided for you, the universe, that is to say, provides something for you that you can use, take, utilize, or help you to manifest what it is you want. It's a process. So when I hear that somebody's taking money and they're saying mantras over and over again, or they're repeating a prayer for somebody, well, that works. You know, they're saying the same prayer over and they're appealing to the universe. And I'm no expert on how the universe thinks. I don't think anybody is. How can a finite mind contemplate what an infinite mind thinks? So in that way, you're paying somebody to say prayers or to repeat a prayer. And maybe it works. But as I said, I'm a little skeptical of people who do that. And I think it's unnecessary because why do you need to go to a third party to say the prayer yourself? And you can say the prayer over and over again. As the lady, Jackie Woodside, was talking about it, one of the comments she made today is that, you know, you just can't read the book for entertainment purposes and things change. You have to read the book in an educational way and then apply what you've learned and then things change. So in that regard, if that's your question about mantras, about people repeating prayers or people repeating suggestions, they work, but you don't need a third party to do it. You can do it yourself. The Bible, great promise in the Bible is ask and ye shall receive. And then there's two conditions, seek and ye shall find, and then knock and it shall be opened unto you, which means you have to keep asking people to help and can they help you? And you have to be very specific in what you need help for. And then you need to go knock on a bunch of doors and try to find those people. Those two conditions, if you do everything you can to make your prayer work or happen, the universe will find a way. Always, always, always. I can guarantee that because it's happened to me many times in my life. But you can't sit there and pray for clothes. You know, it won't happen. But if you can pray for a way to get clothes, you can pray for somebody to give you clothes, you can to be somewhere where, you know, people are discarding clothes, you know, you can attract those things to you, but you have to be, you have to go around and, you know, go to the go to the secondhand stores or go someplace, you know, and just by willy-nilly, by chance, you'll think about it, but the universe is guiding you to get there. But it doesn't just materialize most of the time. There's got to be that one time, you know, where the fishes and loaves appeared in the baskets when the Messiah wanted to feed the crowd. There's got to be that one time when that can happen, you know, manna from heaven. But usually if you really want something and you ask a lot of people a lot of questions and how you can get it, you have to be very specific. Can't change your mind every day. And you go everywhere and anywhere you can. Sooner or later, it will appear in front of you. Somebody will open a door for you. Somebody will give you what you need. Somebody will provide something for you. It's just amazing how the tic-tac-toe works. But anyway, that's a little off topic tonight. I hope that helps, Carol.
Yeah, it did. Saying that she told, you know, she would say that for you to say it. You know, she would teach you, you know, what she usually says.
Yeah, I agree. You can pray yourself. You can pray with people. The Bible says, or the religion and the practical spirituality is that where two or more people are gathered in my name, in other words, in the name of the one God, there I am also. In other words, that they're hearing the prayer. So it takes two or more people. So it's good to pray with a prayer buddy, but you don't need to. You can do it yourself. But if you pray with more people, then that's kind of like shouting a little louder over the crowd. You know, somebody once told me that when you ask prayers, it's like being in an arena at a football game and everybody's screaming and hollering at the same time. It's pretty hard for Metatron, the head angel, to take your prayer to God and say, hey, there's Carol over there from Chicago. She's got a prayer. Can you hear her? Or Douglas Cottrell for whatever purpose, you know. So, okay.
Yes, that was okay with me.
Okay. Well, good luck with that, Carol. I hope you're enjoying the show tonight. And the lady, Jackie Woodside, is an extremely talented person who, as she said, came up the hard way. Yeah. There you go. Got your computer open. So, okay, Carol, all right, I guess we're coming to the end of the show here, unless Paul has somebody else we're going to go to. I'll say goodnight and, you know, enjoy the Memorial Day tomorrow. Okay, looks, Jack, not Jack, I'm saying Paul, looks like we have a little problem with the microphones. Doug, what are you going to do tomorrow? Are you going to be in any parades or, you know, go anywhere yourself?
Well, I've asked around, and they apparently there is going to be something at the cenotaph, some sort of ceremony, so I think I'll attend it.
Hmm.
And also what I will do, I also will pray for the those who have passed on, those soldiers who have passed on, and pray for those who are presently being soldiers and may be seeing action. I'll pray for all of them.
Yeah, still on duty in faraway places.
Yes.
Good, good, good. So, okay, well, I think we're coming up to the hour, 11 o'clock, near the end of the show. We had a couple minutes left. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to play also one of my favorite renditions that I find is suitable on Remembrance Day or Memorial Day. It's played by this particular one is by a 13-year-old girl. It's called El Silencio, The Silence, and Their Rule. And it's one of my favorite, renditions of this. So, Paul, if we're ready, we'll end the show, and we'll play this rendition of this. It's almost like The Last Post, but it's not. It's beautiful. It's very moving, and it's played from the heart. And then we'll let you roll the credits after that, Paul, if you will.
Yes, I'm looking forward to hearing this, Douglas.
Okay, I'll just turn it on, and here we go.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Global Village Online Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Brought to you by MindPro Publications and Productions, a division of Douglas James Cottrell and Associates Incorporated. Copyright 2023, Douglas James Cottrell. No part of this broadcast audio may be reproduced in whole or in part without expressed written permission.